Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Oh, I forgot that I was going to introduce myself in
a robot voice.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I'm doing okay. There's a chill in the air.
It's
feeling like fall.
Fall has fallen.
Yeah. No,
we say spring has sprung. Do we say fall has fallen?
I don't think we do, but I mean, we certainly can.
I think I will.
Yeah. This is the first day that it's been like less than 70 degrees.
Yeah.
So I'm all bundled up.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. It's an LA or SoCal in general thing, but like,
yeah,
it feels, and I am, you know, a Midwesterner by birth, and I like want to like scoff at like people putting on, you know, coats when it's in the high 50s, but like I've been here 16 years.
Acclimated.
I'm acclimated.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go.
Well, I went on a walk this morning and it was like full on raining, and I just like went on my 3-mile walk in the rain. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. You're like, pretended you lived in Connecticut, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the denizens of Stars Hollow would have.
I was just gonna say, yeah, that's exactly it. It's the Harvest Festival.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right into this week's episodes of Friends and How I Met Your Mother. This is season 1, episode 20 of each show, and I forgot to look up the names of them.
Evil Orthodontist.
Friends season 1 episode 20, the one with the evil orthodontist.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother season 1 episode 20.
Best prom ever. Yeah.
So we'll start with the one with the evil orthodontist, which is the Friends episode. I have to ask you off the bat, Natalie, who is Mr. Salty? They're having this debate throughout the episode about like food, like mascots or is mascot the right word? But they're talking about Mr. Peanut or Mr. Salty. And I was going to look it up, but I was like, it'll be better podcast material.
I think maybe the Pringles guy. Is there a Pringles guy?
But I thought his name was Mr. Pringle, but I could be wrong.
Oh, okay. It might just be a made up mascot.
Oh. That doesn't sound like Friends though. Like they're so,
relevant,
pop culture references.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Maybe this just wasn't available.
Oh, maybe it's what, East Coast? Oh, Mr. Salty's
a pretzel.
But that looks like old. Well, but I guess the writers, you know, were probably...
Here's a newer one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that old one, so he's a pretzel man. He's got a pretzel ball head, he's got two pretzel sticks for bodies, and he's got arms that are like a twisted, like a pretzel twist.
He's also made out of pretzels.
Yes. Mr. Salty Pretzel Twist. Honestly.
Is it making you hungry? I know.
I want these so bad.
You love pretzels.
I'm a pretzel eating.
But only a certain.
Pretzel eating Peter?
Yeah. But only like the driest, most dense teething biscuit pretzel.
Hold on, I'll keep talking for a second.
Oh, I like pretzels too, but like a regular pretzel. Like I can fuck with a soft pretzel, but you like the like big, weird.
Just hard, dry pretzels. That's what I like. Yeah. I recently, my phone is dying, so I didn't plug it in. As you know, I recently got like picked up like some sort of, it looked good. They were like, what was it, like dots? Seasoned homemade pretzels or whatever. Good. And they're like kind of pricey and they have like good reviews. But I was like, what is all this flavor? It's not what I want out of a pretzel.
These actually taste baked and fresh and they're seasoned. Yeah. That's not what I'm
So
if you're a pretzel Peter, is that what you said?
Yeah, I was trying to think of a man's first name that starts with PR.
Okay. I'm a real popcorn Paulette.
Popcorn Paulette. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we figured out who Mr. Salty is. Mr. Salty is clearly cooler than Mr. Peanut. Mr. Salty is a sailor, though, which is weird. Because pretzels are so dry.
But like salty sea.
Right. Yeah. Because someone who's like a sailor is like an old salt. That's what you would call it.
Yeah.
Okay. It makes perfect sense. All right, so they're hanging out, they're having that conversation at home, I say at home at Monica and Rachel's apartment, mm-hmm. And they notice that someone at the building across the street is staring into their windows with a telescope.
Yeah.
This is a running thing throughout the episode.
Yeah.
But then we get our first, trip to, or our first visit to the perk of mm-hmm. this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where Chandler, in a kind of storyline that feels very contrived, you know, and that I didn't really like, that he went on a date and had a good time and he's freaking out about
when to call,
yeah. Which I think on the one hand, he's overthinking it. On the other hand, Phoebe and Monica being like, oh, quit, you know, they say quit being so testosterone-y, mm-hmm. and then he makes a joke about testosterone-y being the real San Francisco treat, like rice-a-roni. But is that also a gay joke?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a time in the 90s.
That wouldn't be the first one in this episode.
Yeah. I feel like there was a time as recently in the 90s where, like, any joke about San Francisco was, like, a gay joke.
Yeah.
For most of the country. That's what, I mean, to see, like, even as a kid, what, like, the thing that I knew about San Francisco was, like, oh, there's a lot of gay people there.
It's such like a boomer mentality.
Yeah. 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 But that's where I equated it with gay people and then with hippies.
Right.
And then eventually with like Bay Area hardcore once I got into like college or high school.
And now like Silicon Valley.
Now, yeah. A place that seems like it's displaced anything interesting about itself.
Yeah.
But this is an outsider's perspective. I've lived in California for 16 years and have never been to San Francisco.
Which is wild because I went to college. In San Francisco.
Yeah. And you've been to Chicago, where I went to college.
Yeah.
You loved it. okay. So, but anyway, what I'm saying is this idea, on the one hand, yeah, don't overthink it. But I do think there is something to the idea of, like, don't call the next day.
Well, I think there, like, that's been, like, fodder for, like, all kinds of, like, rom-coms.
Yeah.
Like, the timeline of when it's acceptable. I feel like there were a lot of things, like, wait for 3 days or text the next day or, you know, like.
I like the conversation in Swingers, the famous conversation, you know.
I don't remember that one.
Because John Favreau gets admonishing the dog. That's what that was. That was not smacking. That was
no.
It was clapping.
I was
own
just trying to get her attention.
To get the dog's attention. I didn't want to think it was you smacking the dog.
Yeah, I don't do that.
No. John Favreau gets someone's number and they're like, you can't call tomorrow. You got to wait 2 days is standard.
Okay.
You know, this whole thing. And then he's like, well, you guys got numbers tonight. How long are you going to wait to call them? And they say like in unison, 8 days.
That's
the joke of the scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think waiting a couple of days makes sense.
I don't know. I feel like nowadays,
I hope you wouldn't know.
No, I don't. But I, even like in the past, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years, like you can say like a text, like it was nice. It was fun to meet you tonight. Talk to you soon. Or like, I don't think there's anything like weird or wrong with that.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't know. I've been off the market since 2008.
Me too.
Okay, she's just going to keep doing it.
It's too much.
It's distracting to the listeners, though. It's a cute dog.
We have a very cute dog. Very cute dog.
But then, and they're talking about, like, Rachel, Barry came back at the end of the last episode. So they're having this stupid conversation about when Chandler should call
Danielle.
But then Rachel and Barry are outside because like he came back and said he was still in love with her. Rachel was supposed to like break it off with her.
Mm-hmm.
They're all talking about it. And then she comes in and their way of like acting natural is Chandler's like, and that's how a bill becomes a law, which is like, there was so much Schoolhouse Rock nostalgia in the 90s. Did you have
the
Schoolhouse Rock Rocks CD? They had like all the alt rock bands covering.
I didn't, but I had friends who did.
Yeah, it was like, I feel like, I know Blind Melon did Three is a Magic Number.
I had the...
Moby did Little 12 Toes, maybe? What?
Similar, I remember having the Saturday Morning Cartoons
Greatest
compilation
Hits. Yes.
With like the Ramones.
And I think, did it have Sublime doing Sublime, Hong Kong Phooey?
Sublime was on it. Yeah, I had that one. And yeah, some friends had the Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, that thing, like,
Compilations were like and all the rage.
Compilations were all the rage.
Yeah.
And ironic covers were like so big, especially once you got into like the pop punk world. It was mm-hmm. like, you know, it'd be so funny if like, oh my God, we're less than Jake. Let's do a 7-inch of like 70s TV theme cover songs. Well, that was like such a thing in the 90s.
But it's always, well, I mean, like even like the Sex Pistols doing My Way, like I feel like that was like,
yeah,
ironic too, like show tunes or yeah.
Maybe that's yeah. where it started. Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
that's where it started.
So Rich is going to break it off with Barry, or tell Barry once and tell him off once and for all, like, no, right. I'm not interested. You're with Mindy, my former best friend
yeah.
now. And then of course we get the smash cut to like post-coital cuddling, which looks horribly uncomfortable
in the dentist chair
on an orthodontist chair.
Yeah.
Orthodontist. I guess he's an orthodontist, it's but the chair is chair. The same.
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like, seems gross and uncomfortable.
Yes.
But most of all gross.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like kids getting like food pulled out of their teeth. Yeah. There's like, I don't know, saliva and like soggy Frito spray.
All and over just the, like those offices are like so cold and sterile. Like it's just yeah. not, I mean, I guess that's like part of the joke.
I guess. Yeah. So yeah, they're hooking back up, back in the rest of the characters' lives. They're still freaking out about this telescope person because mm-hmm. Joey's like upset because he cooks naked.
Mm-hmm. But nothing that you,
nothing that splatters,
nothing that splatters.
But I feel like that's, I guess if you're cooking just for yourself, fine, go nuts. But if I found out that like I don't even want someone cooking me food if they're wearing like a tank top. Like
You cook in tank tops. I cook in tank tops.
I don't wear tank tops.
When you don't want to get something on your shirt, you'll sometimes have your like undershirt. Oh, like that's a tank top.
Yes, it is. But I do that very rarely, especially not anymore because someone bought me a very nice linen. What's it called?
Apron.
Yeah, an apron. Yeah, yeah. A linen apron. Yeah. For cooking. Now that's what I wear when I cook and I love it.
Who is she?
So yeah, Joey cooks naked. And so they're having that conversation and, Rachel comes back from the orthodontist, I guess. and she has floss stuck in her hair. Hair is clearly messed up. She has floss stuck in her hair, which again, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
Someone else's like floss. Yeah.
Ugh, I'm so grossed out by this.
Yeah, that was gross. But then it was like such a stretch, like to go from like, oh, you have something in your hair to like, oh, you have floss in your hair. That must mean you were rolling around in a dentist office.
Well, no, because she
Barry's
says
a dentist. Like,
but she does tell yeah. Monica because Monica's like, you had sex in the orthodontist chair or whatever. Right. And that's how everyone finds out.
And then of course, Ross becomes enraged.
And he's so judgy.
He's judgy.
It makes me uncomfortable, but it also, I had this thought, this will be a little timeout here. I had this thought after last week's episode of this podcast, mm-hmm. where both about Ross and about the way that the How I Met Your Mother gang treated the sex worker. You and I were both very critical and I think rightfully, but I'm wondering to what extent should we be like taking the context of the time into account?
I guess.
But I also feel like there were people who knew better at the time.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. It seems like these shows are both, in terms of distance from the present, like,
yeah,
distant enough to be different, but recent enough that it's, like, not entirely excusable.
Well, I mean, I think about that often, like, you know, 10, 20 years from now, what are we saying right now that are going to make us
sure.
cringe? Yeah. And I think we won't know yet. But I feel like treating someone as less than because of like a choice or a line of work just seems like wrong
yeah.
no matter what, but maybe I'm doing that unknowingly. So I don't know.
Yeah. But what about to steer back to Friends? Like if you were watching this show in 1995
mm-hmm.
and Ross is reacting the way he does, are you more likely to be like, ooh, he's being gross and judgy and paternalistic and lashing out? Or are you more likely to be like, aw, he's hurt because his feelings are hurt?
I will tell you, when I was 13, 14, it was the latter. Yeah. It was like, oh, Ross is hurt. I didn't have that kind of awareness.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess, as we talk about this show, I still want to keep calling these things out, but I guess I want to have that awareness in mind that, like, it does make it okay that it was more common, but it also is, makes it more understandable why these things got through so many layers of writers and producers and editors.
Right. And I think language changes over time, and that's a good thing. You know, language is fluid, and now we have different terms. Like, we don't say prostitute, even, you know, we don't say hooker.
Yeah. I mean, or we don't.
We don't.
Some people do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
but yeah, the fact that like terminology changes where a word that was just like used all over the place 15 years ago, it's kind of like it sends a little cringe to me in the same way that even using the word crazy also, it's like starting to cause like some, you know, so like again, like in 10 years, who knows how we'll be speaking.
Yeah. There's the number of like times you hear people say like, that's insane. You know, that like the more we come to recognize mental health issues as something that a lot of people deal with and stuff, like, there's going to be like just hours and hours and hours of podcasts of people saying, you know, this movie is insane. This is nuts. It's crazy.
This is wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess wild is the like safer choice, but
wild
then
is safe,
I also feel like it's overused.
Or nuts.
I don't know if nuts is safe or not. Maybe wacky. What about wacky?
Wacky.
Is wacky okay? I like wacky.
Yeah. Gonzo.
Okay. Gonzo. I don't like bonkers.
Yeah.
It's overused.
It works.
So it was bananas.
Yeah.
It's too overused for me. For me. Then we get then Rachel's talking on the phone to Mindy. Her ex-best friend.
Mm-hmm. Who is played by...
We'll get there. Because this is just over the phone. We haven't met her yet.
Right.
So Mindy was Rachel's ex-best friend. Now she's engaged to Barry, whom Rachel left at the altar. She's talking to Mindy, and we get some great just physical business here, where she's walking, pacing around the coffee table. Mm-hmm. And all the other... So it's like Chandler, Monica, Phoebe... Is that it? I feel like there's one other person there. Joey, maybe?
Ross.
Ross stormed out, didn't he?
Oh, right.
Because he's like, I have things to do. So it must have been Joey.
Yeah.
And as they're just like lifting their legs up.
Yeah.
Because they all have their legs up on the coffee table.
Yeah.
Or it's not a coffee table. It's like a big trunk, right?
Yeah.
And as she like switches direction and they keep lifting their legs. I thought it was a very good bit of business.
And at one point, like she goes to like sit down on the chair and Phoebe's sitting there and she gets out of the way. So it's like Rachel having no regard for those around her.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked that. There was a similar thing where Rachel was like, oh, come on, to Ross. Like, oh, come on. If Carol said, I want you right here on this couch right now, what would you say? And like Ross has to think about it, and Chandler, who's on the couch, he's like, if it helps, I can slide over.
I can move. Yeah.
I don't know, that's kind of funny. Monica weirdly didn't like have a lot to do this episode until the scene where she's sort of trying to coach Chandler through calling back or waiting for a call from Danielle. And I love how he gets so excited that he jumps up on the chair and she like grabs a little dish towel to put under his feet.
Yeah. Cause it's like an upholstered chair. Yeah. So it was rude for him to stomp all over it.
I also like, we don't tend to talk about, maybe cause I'm not as comfortable in this area. We don't tend to talk about interior decor as much as we do fashion on this show.
Right.
But I do like certain things about Monica and Rachel's apartment. I like their intentionally mismatched dining room chairs. I like that it's like four different chairs.
Yeah. Cause it's like fun and funky.
Yeah, it is. It's fun and funky and I like it.
Yeah.
It reminds me, do you remember that, speaking of very 90s humor, do you remember in So I Married an Axe Murderer when he first comes to her apartment and he's like, wow, great apartment. The only thing this place is missing is a gigantic poster of Atlantic City, which there is. Right?
Yeah. Great movie.
It's got its moments. I don't know if I'd call it a great movie.
Great movie.
So then, yeah, we get Rachel finally meets up with Mindy at Central Park, and it's played by Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
Whom I, of course, didn't recognize at first.
Post-rhinoplasty.
Yeah. I almost feel like I don't want to wade into this because it's like it's none of my business if someone wants to have plastic surgery. But on the other hand, it's like as someone who like crushed on Jennifer Grey hard when I was a kid, it feels so weird to see her look
so
different.
Yeah, it's just strange and it's a little bit jarring. It's like she's completely a different person. Like it looks like a different face. I'm not saying that. I take it back. She's the same person. She's Jennifer Grey, but it's alarming to me too.
It's just so strange. I watched Red Dawn so much as a kid.
And it's also kind of like, don't be ashamed of your nose, you know?
But again, I don't want to judge people, you know?
Yeah.
Like maybe if Jennifer Aniston had had a nose job after, because she had her nose job before Friends, so she became famous post-nose job, we never say anything about it.
Right.
But what if she had, like, gotten famous on Friends pre-nose job and then gotten the nose job? Would be, I guess it just has to do with when we knew this person. But if she's happier, you know, this way, then it's none of my business. But it also seems impossible not to comment on.
Yeah, it's the elephant in the room. It made me want to watch Dirty Dancing again.
See, yeah, I've come to love Dirty Dancing, but my mind goes to Red Dawn, which is probably a very bad movie, but that I watched ad nauseum as a kid. It was probably the first PG-13 movie I ever saw, and I rented it all of the time. And partially because one of many reasons, but I thought that, like, badass Jennifer Grey was really sexy in it.
Yeah, yeah. I watched Dirty Dancing probably once a week.
So then this gets, that gets resolved where they go to tell off Barry together, but then Mindy says, I'm going to stay with him anyway. You know, and I feel like that's actually kind of a nice moment of Rachel, like the Rachel we know about that we've only heard of before the show is a Mindy.
Right.
And I think this is the show.
Like,
go ahead.
Like, this is upsetting to me. I hate this. It makes me feel bad, but I still want to be Mrs. Barry, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Yeah, she that's the life that she wants
life
for herself.
Yeah.
And I think this is a nice moment of Rachel realizing how much
she's changed
or maybe not changed, maybe realized who she actually was.
Right.
By spending I guess at this point 8 months with this bunch of losers in Manhattan.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah.
The running joke we didn't talk about, haven't talked about because I hate it, is Joey being like creepy about Rachel and Mindy like kissing at camp when they were kids.
Yeah.
And like, it's not funny the first time and then it comes up like 2 more times.
Yeah.
It's very annoying.
Like, oh, Joey is just reduced to a hornball.
Yeah. And then at the very end, Danielle shows up. Turns out she had the wrong number for Joey the entire time. Or for Chandler, I mean, the entire time.
Yeah, but then the joke is that, like, he's, like, all of a sudden not interested. Like, he was only interested when, like, she ghosted him.
Which is such a Seinfeld type thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Lynn Clark, who played Danielle, was on in the second ever episode of Seinfeld. The one where Jerry meets a girl at a party and then loses her information. The only thing he remembers is where she works. And so Jerry and George spend the entire episode in like the lobby of an office building waiting for the girl he met at the party to come out. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes.
So she's that girl. And then weirdly, she shows up a few episodes later because they're like still dating. This is season one before the show made the decision that now Jerry's just gonna be dating a new person every week.
That's who's like way out of his league. Let's all admit.
So this is like, that was episode 2, and then episode 5, they're like still dating and he's considering whether or not to do like a Vermont weekend. Do you remember that whole thing with like the separate faucets for hot and cold water? So that's, did you have any other observations before we move on to our funniest moments?
Did you note, this was not a funny moment, but did you notice Ross doing like an Ace Ventura? Like when he said, he used the word crazy, but he said it in like an Ace Ventura way.
No, but that doesn't surprise me. Like,
and it was supposed to be hilarious, but I guess like the timeline, I was just like, that's That's Jim Carrey. Like, you just did a Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, I mean, that's just the, it makes sense. That was probably what was considered funny at the time.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I remember a lot of like early, like That 70s Show. And I was like, oh, Ashton Kutcher's just doing Chris Farley. Like, he's not doing, he's not a big guy, but right. the, like the yelling thing, he's just doing Chris Farley. I feel like, you know, David Schwimmer, like, there's a difference between someone like a Chris Farley or a Jim Carrey who are comedians first, you know, right. whereas right. David Schwimmer or Ashton Kutcher are like actors who are in comedies.
They and were, so yeah,
they're probably more influenced by other stuff because they maybe aren't as naturally funny.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know if there's something to that, but that's what maybe. I just came yeah, up with.
Sounds right.
Anything else? Can I list off my first funniest moment?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
First funniest moment. I've got two physical comedy moments. This okay. one.
I know one of them.
This one was so small. I don't know if you even caught it. But post-coital, Rachel and Barry, when Rachel's like, I had a bra, and they're trying to find the bra, and Barry does this moment of like miming, taking off her bra and throwing it over his shoulder, and then turns around and there it is on top of the
That's very funny.
The cabinet.
He had to go through the actual motions.
He had to like pretend to throw a bra over yeah. his shoulder. That was very funny.
My physical comedy moment was Chandler's phone dive.
Oh my God, literally the words that I wrote.
Chandler's phone dive. Yeah, he dove for the phone, and it was really, really good. I wonder how many takes that was.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you stole... Okay, yeah, I was going to mention that one. I have one more that I wanted to mention that I just thought was a... It's a very corny, like a very Chandler line, but it worked when he's talking about... He called her and her machine picked
yes,
up.
Yes.
And Joey says, her answering machine? And he's like, no, oddly enough, her leaf blower picked up.
Yeah, that was one of mine. That was definitely one of mine. And then another one of mine was like a Joey line. It was just like demonstrating that he's kind of dumb. But Rachel was talking about Barry, and Monica said, like, this is the same Barry you left at the altar? And Joey's like, duh, where have you been? Like, it's like,
yeah.
he just doesn't catch on. So I thought that was funny. But yeah, it was the leaf blower.
Yeah.
Got me.
Let's move on to Friends But Make It Fashion.
Okay.
And I will start with it's a twofer because it's two people in one scene.
Okay.
Or multiple scenes, the last few couple of scenes. Rachel and Jennifer Grey together. I love both their outfits. Mm-hmm. Rachel's got like a sort of dark blue, like velvet, like dress.
It was a blue velvet. Yeah.
It was, yeah. Blue velvet. It had like fake buttons, mm-hmm. On the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jennifer Grey's wearing like a skirt suit,
like a pink Chanel suit.
Yeah.
Suit.
And I felt like not only were they both great outfits, it felt like they put Rachel in this like sort of smart dress thing to remind us that she and Mindy come from the same world.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? They look like they both look like fashionable ladies yeah. who can afford nice things, as opposed to like sometimes, you know, we've also seen Rachel dress down a lot. She likes the Red Cross, like long sleeve mm-hmm. t-shirt
yeah.
and stuff like that. And yeah. it felt very intentional to put her in something like nice for her scenes with Mindy.
But yeah, and Mindy in the pink Chanel suit is definitely like a different type of like rich, wealthy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And the fact that I'm just realizing this now, but Barry bought Rachel Chanel.
Oh, that's right.
Number
the Chanel.
Five. So I thought like, oh, this is like symbolic of like what could have been Rachel's life. Is like,
do you think
Chanel, pink Chanel?
Do you think
suit.
Barry bought the pink Chanel suit? Do you think that's how he like tries to
Ew.
Claim?
Yeah, that's how he marks his
yeah.
territory. That's gross, but yeah, maybe. I was refreshed by Monica's just like t-shirt. Like I liked okay. that she had just like a V-neck and she was in athleisure wear,
yeah.
which like you don't see the friends in. Like even if they're just hanging around in the house, they're wearing like a vest and like a velvet undershirt, you know? So it yeah. just felt like,
yeah.
oh, she's like yeah. in her cozy.
Except I guess Joey has very dressed
yeah.
down.
He was stuff, wearing yeah. like a Nike sweatshirt.
Yeah. yeah. Did you know, speaking of velvet on Rachel though, cause when she has sex with Barry, the skirt she's wearing is like a weird, like brown velvet skirt.
Yes. Yes.
That has like a weird, like
a long one.
And it fastens by like tying a sash. Like mm-hmm. Like you're wrapping a towel around yourself almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was, I didn't love it.
Yeah. But that was very much in fashion at that time. Did you notice Ross's, Doc Martens?
No.
Return of the maroon Doc Martens.
Oh, that's funny, because I wrote that Ross's bright red shirt is back. He was wearing his insanely bright red, like cherry red shirt.
Yeah. Ross.
I just said insane, which we just talked about not doing.
Ross's layering was upsetting. Like, I don't like when, like, a jacket has buttons directly over a shirt with buttons.
Okay, yeah.
It seems...
it's like two shirts, the Steve Bannon
yes,
style.
Yes, yes.
Should we move on to running jokes and motifs?
Yes.
Obviously, ugly naked guy. They make ugly naked guy again.
Yeah. Did you catch when they were at Central Perk? You know how they make it their home? They turn it into their living room.
Yeah.
They just grab the phone, like the business phone. For Chandler to like do his like weird antics with the girl. Like, you don't just pick up a phone at the business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not for public use.
Yeah.
It's like a cordless phone for the business. Central Perk, what can I help you with? You know, like it's not for you entitled assholes to just like use at your whim. Like celebrity guest stars, obviously Jennifer Grey.
Right. Yeah.
Fat phobia. Jennifer Grey brings up like someone that they used to go to school with who lost a bunch of weight and doesn't look cute or something. It was just kind of like,
oh yeah.
Fat phobia rears its ugly head again. Mr. Peanut is gay.
Oh, right.
It was a joke.
Which is why? That's not even like, because he's well dressed, but like he's not even well dressed in like a way that would be stereotypically gay. He's like 1920s, like going out to the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Did you notice this is maybe props to the prop for no good reason at all? Monica like makes herself like a big sandwich and like puts chips on the plate, and she's just like chomping on this sandwich. I thought it was gonna like someone was gonna say like, oh, make me one, or like no one even mentioned this like big weird white sandwich that she was eating.
I love Monica in this episode, that she's just like super relaxed, you know, wearing a t-shirt, eating
wasn't pretending to. She took a big chomp of it,
and she took such a big chomp there's even like red onion like hanging out of the sandwich.
Yes, like I think maybe like Courtney Cox was like hungry and they're like, yeah, let's make you a sandwich in this scene. Because it was only like, it had to have been a single take.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
I love it. Laugh.
So yes, props to the prop department.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Should we move on to season 1, episode 20 of How I Met Your Mother, Best Prom Ever?
Yes. Yes. So, I forget how it starts, but I think they are, they're talking about Marshall and Lily's nuptials because they have to.
Yeah, the episode literally starts. I don't know why this should become, I'm not sure how to make it a segment on the show, but we should always like mention, does it start at Central Perk or McLaren's? And this doesn't. It starts, literally starts with Marshall and Lily running down the street.
Oh, yes, that's right. Okay, so it's like an action sequence, and this storyline kind of got lost. I thought that we'd have more action sequences with the other couple who Todd and Valerie, I wrote down thinking that they're going to come up again because they're another couple vying for the same venue, which is the Van Smoot house, which apparently you have to like get on a waiting list like years in advance to get, you know,
it's a good comedy name, Van Smoot.
Yeah. So something opened, but they have to start. It's only available in 2 months. So then they're kind of freaking out and Lily's like kind of getting stressed out because she has to plan everything in short notice and they're stuffing envelopes. And the theme of the episode is basically this band. Like, Lily has to see the wedding band before they agree to it. And this band, who are the 88,
mm-hmm.
right? Actual band.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't even look that up.
Yeah. They wanted to hire this band, but they weren't like playing anything except this prom. So then the whole episode, they're trying to get into this prom to hear them live so they can get them for the wedding. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Robin, is kind of warming back up to Ted a little bit. Even though she still kind of hates him, she's ready to make amends, I guess.
Slowly, yeah.
Slowly.
I've got more on that later.
Yeah. And also, I guess, one of the, I guess, themes of the episode is Lily is second-guessing not her marriage to Marshall, but just herself, because we get flashbacks of her prom. And she's been with Scooter mm-hmm. for 2 years yeah. in high school. And they, you know, had all these plans, and then she broke it off with him because she wanted to travel and live a bohemian lifestyle and have a lesbian relationship and experience life. And maybe in a way she feels like she settled in too much with Marshall. And then we find how they met, because it's in Lily's dorm room where she's like talking about what she wants out of life. And then her, not roommate, but I guess hallmate,
yeah.
Marshall comes in and he meets her, and they're listening to Violent Femmes' Good Feeling, which is yeah. an amazing song.
Again, like I said, this show has yeah. better taste in music than Friends. That's yes. one thing going for
yes.
it. Yeah. So she had all these plans, and then we find out that her plans got waylaid by the fact that she met Marshall
yeah.
day one.
Yeah.
Which obviously I think she's happy about, but she's thinking about, I never did these things I broke up with Scooter to do.
Yeah. And she likes Scooter because he looked like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
And he was, well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But yeah, there is a lot of sweet moments in the episode. Robin is a very good friend to Lily in the final scene when she's like, well, you can still travel. You can still, you know, have adventures. And, she gives her a kiss. Like, there's your lesbian yeah. moment. And it was just kind of like,
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah.
There was a lot of funny antics at this prom, because they had to sneak in. So the security outside the prom wouldn't let them in unless they worked there or they were someone's date, which is absurd. You still can't be an adult and have a date just like.
And also, I mean, in my experience in general,
you have to have a ticket.
You have to have a ticket.
Yeah.
And also, maybe it's because I didn't grow up like rich at all, but I went to a good school district and I went to school with a lot of rich kids. Our prom wasn't at the high school. Like, right. our prom was at a ballroom at
yeah,
a hotel.
I don't think it actually, it's only in, like, TV shows where it's at the high school auditorium. Like, it never is.
Yeah. And they always do, also, movies and TV shows always do the thing of, like, the high school reunion is at the high school.
Yeah,
that's not never. The case either. Because you can't drink at a high school.
Right.
Like, there are rules against that.
Right.
Yeah, but I was like, as much as I love Gross Point Blank, I was always like, they're not really going back to that. The high school for
right.
like the it should be
maybe that happens to some people, but yeah, in my experience, never.
But anyway, oh, sorry, I wanted to say that the idea of coming up with fun ways to sneak into a high school prom is like just peak How I Met Your Mother, like wacky schemes.
Yeah.
I like schemes, and How I Met Your Mother, especially with Barney, does schemes well.
Barney's scheme was good. So Lily and Robin like see some like nerdy kids and, you know, ask them to, you know, take them as their date. Of course they say yes. Barney is like you could see him in the background, like sizing up the building, like, how am I going to get in? Yeah. So he's
Shabatsky, how are you with a crossbow?
Yeah. But when they're dancing with these dorks at the prom, you see Barney like falling through the like rafters or air vent.
And like getting carried off by security.
Yeah. And then what actually gets him in was he dresses up as the like a turtle mascot.
Yes. Leading to one of my funniest moments.
Mine
so
too.
We'll wait. Okay.
Yes, mine too. That was very funny. Let's see. Action sequence. Yeah. What else? What else you got?
I was just going to comment on like rushed wedding preparation as like a TV trope, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think, without obviously I'm not going to, maybe tease at future things to come, but I think it'll be used well here.
Right.
In this season. I don't want to spoil things or talk specifically about what's to happen,
okay.
But I think it's used well, but there is a, often it's like, oh no, we have to get married by the season finale. They don't say that, but right, it's like right, a timeline right, where right. It's like, but this is not quite that. So I think it's done pretty well. I liked, I guess the distribution of labor seems fine. They both like are.
Yeah, he's stuffing envelopes. She's eating cake, which is like, you don't just like eat a bunch of cakes in your, like we've had this.
Hey, look, maybe if you only have 2 months, that's how you have to do it.
I guess, but like a bunch of cakes shipped to her home. Like it's just, we already know the impracticality of like eating a bunch of cake at the wedding dress shop.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of cake.
There's a lot of like cake sampling.
Cake mishaps with,
yeah. But why would it just Lily? Be Lily by herself, like gorging on these cake samples?
Right. But not everyone has a friend who makes delicious cakes like we did.
Yeah.
We had cakes, because our wedding was very art deco because of the location it was. And our friend, Mary, made us cakes in two different flavors. And they were like, it wasn't like a big cake you get a slice of. Everyone had their own like personal little cake. Yeah. And they had like a shell design.
Yeah, there are shells.
Which kind of fits with the art deco theme.
But then we had a big shell.
For us to,
for
like
us
cut,
to cut. Yeah, and you're to right, save.
You're right. I forgot about
that. We had, you know, I think some stress in planning for our wedding, but we had like a year to do it. So I understand the stress involved.
I feel like, maybe this is me, because I was about to say, like, it's a bummer that Lily, like, they're both doing work, but Lily's the only one who seems really stressed about it. Yeah. Whereas Marshall's just like, I just want to take care of Lily.
But we're learning the reasons why maybe she's so stressed out about it, because she's second guessing.
So maybe what I'm about to say is me telling myself, I don't feel like our wedding prep was that stressful. I felt like you and I did a really good job of like
pacing ourselves
from the outset, saying, okay, we have 11 months. Here's like what needs to be done by this point and by this point and by this point. And we like kind of followed that plan and like, until your bouquet was unacceptable. That's like the only,
it was totally unacceptable.
Yeah. I had to drive back to the florist on the day of the wedding. To get a new bouquet. No, I was glad to be able to help, because there's not, at least in our experience, as a groom, day of the wedding, there's not that much for me to do. I feel like we both distributed the work pretty evenly.
Right.
But the day of, I like, all right, you got to be dressed by this time. You have 6 hours.
And
I was like, okay.
You like went and got food and like drank a bunch.
Justin, my brother-in-law and I like had like a midday beer at the bar at the nice hotel we were staying at.
But like I was so not like bridezilla, and we didn't like spend tons of money on flowers. Like we went to the flower district and like picked them out. It was very basic, but we had like decided exactly what we wanted. And the day of, what you took a picture of was total opposite. Like it would have clashed with everything else. It wasn't even like the colors were wrong. Like it wasn't.
Yeah. No one's accusing you of being a bridezilla. I don't think you had one thing you disagreed with was the bouquet.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to mention is, this is 2006, and it's, I guess it's just on the cusp of like, cause there's a plot point where it's like, oh no, we need the sheet music for Violent Femmes.
Right,
like,
right.
If this were a year and a half later, we've been like, oh yeah, I'll call that up on my phone.
Right.
But like Marshall has to print it out and run it out to New Jersey for that.
And the timing I don't know how close that school was to their apartment, but it seemed like the 88, the prom band, they like took a break. And I think we're supposed to believe that before they got back up on stage.
But I guess, I mean, New Jersey, it doesn't say where in New Jersey. So New Jersey's very close, and it has been established on the show before that Marshall has a car.
Okay.
Remember, because Marshall drove to Philly?
So it could have been like a 15-minute break.
Yeah, it honestly could have been.
Okay.
I think.
But so, yeah, the 88 nailed the song.
They did, yeah. They did a good job. What were your funniest moments? Or tell me one. We'll switch off.
Okay. One of the funniest was... Lily's ex-boyfriend Scooter. He was going to Empire School to become an Empire, and Lily said, like, you know, you have such a future ahead of you, you're gonna go to school and become an Empire. And he said, we're gonna become an Empire. That was funny. Also,
well, hold on, we
oh,
switch off.
Oh, sorry, go.
My funniest was also a Lily line when we see the episode starts in media res. They're running down the street. We find out, we get the backstory of why they're running down the street, and Lily, in the middle of like teaching her first grade class or whatever, decides to run out, and she just goes, kids, color, and runs out the door.
But she dives over a bunch of kids on the ground.
Yeah,
that kids was were like funny. Playing quietly on the floor, and she dove over them.
Yeah,
I have another funny moment when Barney is the turtle mascot. Yeah. Ted like almost can't even get it out because it's so funny, but he says, "Slow and steady won the race."
Yeah, that's my other
after
one.
Getting in there. I also like the line reading of like the prom. Like, I guess he was like a teacher or something, but they were trying to get into the prom the first time. And the guy at the like security door said, you're adults.
Yeah.
In a way that was very like, that's how I would say it. You know, like it's just, it wasn't like, excuse me, where are you? You know, it sounded very authentic. Like that's what someone would say.
Yeah.
You're and adults.
It was, well, cause there was all that buildup of Lily being like, when I was 17, I used to do this. I've got it. You just have to have confidence.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk up, follow my lead. And immediately you're adults.
You're adults. And then, I also laughed at, Robin's like dork date had like a little flask and it was like cough syrup.
Yeah.
He joked that like he got a fake ID, but he didn't notice it only made him 20. So Robin takes a shot of the cough syrup.
Yeah.
And like the little dork says like, you vibing baby or something to her. And she's like, well, my phlegm feels looser, which I thought was funny.
That is funny. Also, who would make that fake ID? Why would there even be a fake ID?
Yeah.
And get ripped off. How about How I Met Your Mother, but let's make it fashion.
Okay. So initially, like, they put on dresses, like, quote-unquote, like, fancy dresses to go to the prom, and they're just hideous. And everyone knows they're hideous. And Barney is like, no, they're ugly. But the reason why is because Barney wants them to, like... go ho or go home. Uh-huh. Like, so that's the whole more like, slut shaming. And
I mean, I don't think it's slut shaming. I think Barney is slut celebrating.
He is, but he's like, you need to slut it up. You need to look more like a stripper. And then they joke that they look like whores.
Yeah. I don't like that word.
Yeah. They use the word skank, judgy.
Oh yeah, Marshall says like they turn into skanks so quickly or something like that.
Yeah,
there's some words that haven't aged well, but yeah. I think the attitude here isn't that bad. I don't think there's anyone like they're using words that have ugly meanings we don't really use anymore. But I don't think the attitude is judgy. I don't know. Okay. Maybe I'm just defending it because I like seeing Alison Hannigan and Colby Smulders in tight dresses.
But those dresses were not cute either. I guess Lily's was cute. Lily's it was just like a leopard tight.
We'll get to Lily's.
Oh, okay. But then she wore a very like teacher statement necklace over the leopard.
Yeah, it hurts her warring personalities. Yeah. Is she the young free spirit, or is she
the statement necklace the first grade teacher? Yeah. And then, yeah, again with the ruching, so much ruching for Robin. I did like prior to this.
How many Lily, do you get? I thought we go back and forth.
I didn't know if you had more.
I haven't even done one yet.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Because I think you were going to steal mine.
Oh.
Which is, if I had been in high school in the 90s, I would have had such a crush on Alt Lily with her like black hair.
Yes.
In the flashback to 1996, her black wig and her like knee socks and cutoffs, like it's very alt 90s look. It would have been very much my thing. But yeah, then she also, I liked the cheetah dress better than what Robin's wearing. I feel like we talk about this every week. As much as I love Robin as a character and I love Kobe Smulders as an actor, Robin's fashion just hasn't aged well.
Yeah.
Lily's has better, I think, of the two of them. The two women on the show, what the show put Lily in stands up a little better today.
Mm-hmm.
Robin's, it doesn't.
She had, before we get the flashback, Lily was wearing a floral cardigan that I liked a lot.
That's what she was wearing when she was running down the street, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. But yeah, speaking of Robin's, like, just poor fashion sense, like her low waist jeans, I just can't handle. And Lily does that too. It's definitely like of the time, but I feel like Robin's are especially low.
Yeah. Running jokes and motifs, anything that you caught?
Okay. Lesbian as a punchline.
Okay.
So Robin is saying that like she didn't go to prom because she was too busy with field hockey. Yeah. And then Barney makes a joke that she's a lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah, not a very like imaginative joke.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we get another suit up reference, except Barney doesn't say suit up. He says slut up.
Slut up, yep.
As far as things to keep an eye on for the future, flashbacks to younger Lily, younger Marshall, younger Ted, their lives especially, and like we're going to see a lot more of their colleges where all three of them met, so we're going to see a lot more of their college days.
Yeah, I like that.
Which is very exciting. And I hope you liked Scooter, because this is not the last we will see of Scooter.
I actually did like Scooter.
Yeah.
I wonder, if he turned out to be an umpire.
But do you know who the actor who plays Scooter?
No.
I have to look up his name. Because I'm sure the listeners who know this are yelling at me. David Burtka is his name. That's Neil Patrick Harris's husband.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's very funny. I also noticed the Verve pipe.
Did you? I didn't catch that. At the 90s prom?
At the 90s prom, yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
The freshman.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That absolutely would have been playing.
Yeah. So that was playing there. Violent Femme song.
Well, let's move on to similarities and differences between the two shows and in general in these episodes in particular. We had like unfunny references to like lesbian experiences, you know, at camp or in college or whatever. In the bigger picture, though, I'm interested to see how these two shows are dealing with the way that, like, what is the timeline? And this has actually been on my mind because you and I are rewatching for the first time for me, Happy Endings.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of when two people who are close have a falling out, something bad happens between them. What is the timeline of them mending and coming back together, or can they ever? And, Rachel and Mindy, like, after what, like, the idea that Rachel left Barry at the altar and then Barry, like, immediately, not immediately, but in very short order, takes up with Mindy. We end up finding out they were seeing each other while they were still engaged, whatever. Yeah. Even though, like I said, it's been 8 months since this happened, it still felt a little unnatural to me.
Yeah.
Whereas the Ted and Robin falling out, even though it seems to be happening over a shorter period of time, the coming together, it feels like the show is taking it more seriously, and maybe that's the performances of the actors. I don't know how you feel about that, but it feels like the idea of Ted lying to Robin to try and sleep with her is a serious thing that has caused a rift, and their coming back together is not something that is happening off screen. So even though it's happening faster, maybe it's the fact that the show is paying more attention to it that makes it feel more natural to me. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
So, yeah, I think you're right in that the time frame with How I Met Your Mother, that's much more realistic, where like the whole relationship with Mindy and Rachel, it just seems very like stagey and written. You know, like all of a sudden it was sprung on us. She calls her and says, you know, Rachel thinks that Mindy's calling because she knows that she slept with Barry. No, she's calling her to ask her to be her maid of honor.
Which is like...
Which is silly. It's like...
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up, yeah. But yes, I think you're right. It's more realistic.
So if you... Putting yourself in Robin's shoes here... What Ted did is a bad thing. Like, yes. It's not something that's easily forgiven.
Right.
But also, he's a part of the friend group, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, if it weren't for the fact that Robin is friends with Marsha, Lily, and Barney, maybe that would have been a forever break, you know?
I wonder, because they make a good point of, like, these people care about each other. And I could imagine... This whole time, Robin is like reconciling the feelings that she was having for Ted with this, like, well, he's still a good, like, I know him as a friend and a good guy and I enjoy his company. This is really hard, but I'm not going to shut him out because I care about him.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm giving her more credit.
Maybe I feel like I'm giving her more credit by saying she would have just cut things off with him entirely after he lied to try and get into her pants.
Yeah. And she makes a point to say, like, when they're dancing, like, I'm close to forgiving you, not as like we're gonna make out, but like,
yeah,
I can stand being around you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like, kudos to the show for doing, which brings us to playing favorites. You had a more similarities and differences. Sorry, I rushed just along.
Oh, you had like this big, like, thematic.
Yeah.
One, but mine was like, oh, they both have mascots.
Oh, because Mr. Salty?
Mr. Salty and then the turtle.
Yeah, I like that. What do you think that high school's mascot is? The turtles?
Like the fighting tortoises?
Tortoises. Okay, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's canon now.
Yeah.
Let's move on to playing favorites.
Okay.
You going to count us down?
Okay. 3, 2, 1. How I Met Your Mother. What? The Friends episode, there weren't a lot of laughs. And...
Yeah. And there was that big sandwich.
That was the most laughs.
Well, let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce, which is called How Were We Doing? In which you look at the headlines, what was happening in the world on the days these episodes aired. Friends Season 1, Episode 20, the one with the evil orthodontist, aired on April 6th, 1995. Now, if I want to get into, there's not a lot that's specific to 1995. I will, as has become a thing we do, I will look at the top 5 songs in the U.S. I'm so glad there's a song on here that I really like, because I'm sick of being hating on songs. Well, we talked about the Violent Femmes. We love the Violent Femmes.
Yes.
I had, so that album that's, so we'll get back to the segment. The album that Good Feeling is on is the first album, right? That has like the little girl pushing on the door or whatever on the cover. So I had that. I was just thinking about this while we were watching the episode, that like I was in high school, like during the age that we all had CDs, but that like CD burning technology wasn't like that common yet.
Okay.
So like I had a copied tape of that album. Okay. That's how I listened to the Violent Femmes album, because my friend, who probably had the CD, taped it for me. It wasn't until maybe my senior year of high school, maybe into college, that it was easy to burn CDs for people.
Yeah.
I had that album on tape.
Well, yeah, I mean, we used to make mixtapes. Like, it wasn't just a...
Yeah, but I'm saying by college, I was making mixed CDs.
Yes, yeah. Me too.
All right, so top 5 songs in the U.S. Madonna's Take a Bow, Soul for Real's Candy Rain. I don't know if you want to sing it again.
No.
Okay. Real McCoy's Runaway. Which one is that? Because the other Real McCoy song... I love that song. Yeah. What's Runaway?
I don't know. Okay. I'm sure if I heard it, I would recognize it.
TLC's Red Light Special.
Yes.
Oh, how's that one go?
I'll give you the red light special all through the night. Baby, it's yours, all yours, if you want it tonight.
I love it. And then number 5, a song that, I don't know, maybe this is corny. I don't know how you feel about it, but I love this song, Strong Enough by Sheryl Crow.
Oh, I like that song.
It's too. A great song.
Yeah.
I actually, coincidentally was just listening to it again the other day. And it's like, I think of it as like, oh, it's like one of the other singles of this. Mm-hmm. It's not like All I Want to Do song. Or whatever, but it's one of the singles, but it's a really good song.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm partially saying that out of a sense of Missouri pride.
Oh,
Sheryl
right.
Crow being a Missourian.
I love Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
I even liked, and I've talked to you about this before, shamefully, I even liked the song that she does with Kid Rock.
I know, we have talked about this before. Yeah. Yeah, that might be a little too far for me.
Yeah.
But I'm forgetting the name of the album that had these hits on it.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
But All I Want to Do, great song. Strong Enough, great song.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move. And then season 1, episode 20 of How I Met Your Mother, Best Prom Ever, aired on. Oh, wait. I missed the other thing I was going to say about April 6th in general. Sorry. Let's go back to April 6th.
Okay.
Just in general, there's some fascinating things. So April 6th is the date of the organization of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the start of the Restoration Movement by Joseph Smith. It is also the date on which this church believes Jesus Christ was born.
Oh.
So Mormons don't celebrate Christmas? Or they do, but they think Jesus was born in April?
Yeah, because that's, like Easter.
Yeah.
Around Easter.
But Easter is about Jesus being resurrected.
Okay. I'm the wrong person.
But I've also heard all sorts of things, like, based on the...
But Mormons do celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
I'm 90% sure.
In Thailand, April 6th marks Chakri Day, a day to commemorate King Rama I, founder of the Chakri dynasty. So I don't know if that has to do with Songkran, the Songkran festival, which is also around that time.
Yeah.
It's
a holy month.
Yeah. But also we being Angelenos, there's a big Thai community here. There's a big, at least before the pandemic, there's a big annual Songkran festival in Thai town that's a ton of fun that we went to every year for years until the pandemic.
Yeah.
And April 6th is also the start of the tax year in the United Kingdom. Okay. Let's move on to season 1, episode 20 of How I Met Your Mother, aired on May 1st. May Day.
May
Day. 1st of May, 2006. A lot of, like... As always seems to happen, a lot of bummer shit happened on that day. But one thing that happened on the day, I don't know if you remember this, the Great American Boycott, immigrant workers and their supporters across the United States stayed home from work and marched to abstain from commerce, protesting the 2006 immigration policy, or it was a boycott of the 2006 immigration policy. It's called the Great American Boycott, or a Day Without Immigrants, which is what I remember.
I do remember that.
Without immigrants.
I always want America to practice May Day in the way that they do in Europe.
Right.
It's a big deal there, and we kind of just ignore it.
Yeah. So that happened on May 1st, 2006. Trying to see if there are any other major things. Let's move on to, the top 5 songs in the U.S. Dana Powder's Bad Day. Again, Sean Paul's Temperature. T.I.'s What You Know. Chameleon Air Ridin'. I don't know that song. and Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten, which you sang some of last week.
I'm so sorry.
No, I love it. I absolutely love it. So that's how are we doing. Let's move on to our final segment, which is called Challenge Accepted, in which we make predictions about what will happen on the next episodes of our respective shows based on the title and, I guess, any other pre-existing knowledge we have. But first, we have to revisit our predictions from last week and see if we were right. Natalie, I finally got another point on the board. I mean, again, mathematically, I am going to lose this season. There's no way.
Right.
But I said, Rachel tells Barry where he can stick it.
Yeah.
And she did.
She really did.
Yeah. So I get one more there.
But I was kind of right, too. But it was kind of obvious.
Yeah. I wrote... normally, I write funny stuff to try and make myself laugh. I think this is just a typo. I wrote, flashback to everyone's is prom. I don't know if that was
maybe
supposed
knew.
To be funny.
Maybe,
everyone's
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Flashback to everyone's is prom. Barney says best prom ever. I don't think we got a flashback to one person's prom.
Yeah.
And I don't think Barney said best prom ever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So point goes to David.
Point goes to David. David Back. David Michael Backs. David Michael Gregory Backs is my full confirmation name. So let's look at predictions based on this next week's episode. This is the part where I have to do some Googling, so you have to...
Right, I'm supposed to vamp, which it makes me very nervous, and I'm not good at it.
I mean, you could just, like, sing more TLC. Yeah. So season one, episode 21 of Friends is called The One with the Fake Monica. Okay. I'm going to guess there's... a single white female situation.
Okay.
I'm going to say like someone's pretending to be or trying to make themselves more like Monica.
Okay.
That Monica has like a friend.
Okay.
Coworker, someone from her past or someone who's like, oh, I do everything you do now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
so I'm
it.
Going to say.
That's fun.
Monica gets.
Single white female.
Single white female. I rewatched that movie a few years ago. It's not great.
I was just going to ask you if you have, because
we
have
the Blu-ray.
It. Yeah. And I kind of want to watch it,
yeah,
but I don't like
it.
I think the dog dies. There's a dog death.
I think it does.
It's
yeah.
really upsetting.
Yeah. The thing that sticks out to me watching it now is how much it's like a Me Too movie. I've forgotten about the whole storyline about Stephen Tobolowsky.
He gets Me Too'd?
No. He doesn't get called out on it, but he tries to like, basically say that his contract with Bridget Fonda, because he's like her employer or the contractor, and he basically says it's requisite upon you having sex with me.
Oh.
Yeah. I had forgotten about that storyline that definitely stuck out post Me Too.
Yeah.
All right. So season one, episode 20 of How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm. What's it called?
Natalie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Episode 21.
Okay.
Of How I Met Your Mother. This isn't going to help. It's called Milk. First off, you love milk.
Just the word is gross. Okay. I think someone is going to be baking.
Okay.
And for some reason, they're out of milk. The person who's baking.
Someone baking.
I guess I'm thinking of baking because that's been like an ongoing theme with Victoria. She was a baker.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I got Monica gets single white femaled and someone's baking and needs milk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we accomplished it.
Yeah.
It is accomplished.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jesus, it is accomplished. We discussed seasons one, episodes 20, of Friends, entitled The One with the Evil Orthodontist, the best prom ever. You can find me at battleshippretension.com. That's my other podcast and where I write movie reviews. You can also find this podcast there. Comment on it. Email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Definitely rate and review us on iTunes. We've gotten a couple of reviews at this point. It's been very positive. It's very encouraging.
Yeah.
When people say nice things about us.
When people are even listening to this.
Oh, of course they are. We're great. And you can follow me on Twitter @DavyPretension. Natalie, is there anywhere you would like people to find you on the internet?
No.
Okay.
Until next time, see you at the Van Smoot House.
I should have seen it coming.